Welcome to the Kitchen Counter Podcast, episode 161, 7 Tips for Grilling Chicken. Hey everybody, thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of the show. I am Roger, and this is the Kitchen Counter Podcast, the show that's all about home cooking, getting in the kitchen, having fun, learning new things. And today, we're going to be talking outdoor cooking a bit. Here in the United States, the 4th of July is just around the corner, so that means more and more of us are probably getting outside and doing a little cooking on the grill or the barbecue. So I thought it would be a good time to dedicate an episode to talking about a staple of backyard grilling all across the country, and that is grilling chicken. I've heard from a lot of you, and I know many of you are grill masters or really comfortable with the barbecue or the grill or outdoor cooking. But I know many of you aren't, and if there's one item, if there's one protein that takes a little bit more TLC than any other, I think, when it comes to cooking on the grill, it's chicken. So we're going to be covering some tips so you can turn out wonderful chicken every time you get outside into the backyard or at the park or wherever you're doing your grilling. But before we get to that, I do want to remind you that you can send me an email over to feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com if you have any questions or ideas for future show topics. You can also head over to the Facebook group over at kitchencounterpodcast.com/group. That'll take you over there. You just answer a couple of questions. It's a private group. We'll let you right in, and then you can start hanging out with all of the other cool folks that are in there sharing ideas or asking questions or sharing amazing food images. Oh, and I almost forgot. For this particular episode, if you want the show notes, you could head over to kitchencounterpodcast.com/161, just the numbers 161, and that will get you to the show notes. So if I mention a link to something, which I'm going to do here in just a second, or recipe ideas or anything like that, you can head over to kitchencounterpodcast.com/161 and find that information on the website. Cool. Okay, so before we get right into the topic at hand, I did want to do a quick shout out since we're talking about outdoor cooking. Last month, the folks over at the Grubmasters YouTube channel, and specifically John Deary, they put a link into the Facebook group, and it was for making a creamy mac and cheese deep dish pizza outdoors in your Dutch oven. It was a video for this. It was really cool. And they used my creamy mac and cheese recipe as part of their deep dish mac and cheese pizza. So thanks for doing that. That was really cool to see. But this video is really fun. It's about 25 or 26 minutes long. And this pizza is crazy, outrageous, overboard. Looks really good. I would be tempted to make it, except I'm afraid I'm the only one in my household that would eat it. And since we're not really having anybody over these days, that would be a dangerous thing. But it's a deep dish pizza. I think there's brisket in there. I think there might be bacon in there, if I'm remembering right. It's been a few couple weeks since I watched the video. There's bacon, there's brisket, and it's mac and cheese cooked in a Dutch oven that is basically lined with a pizza crust. And when it comes out, this thing is like, I don't know, 6 inches deep or something outrageous like that. It looks really good. It looks like a lot of fun. So if you're gonna have a backyard cookout or something like that this summer, and you will really want to blow people's minds, maybe go over and check out the Grubmasters YouTube channel. And I'll put a link to this particular video where John Deary goes through this. Plus, I should say, throughout the video, John does a great job, just as they do in all the Grubmasters video, of just bringing up great cooking tips for outdoor cooking, for camp cooking. Like, I love the tip in this particular video about what to do with dried macaroni noodles if you don't feel like heating up a huge pot of water, boiling it to cook the macaroni. So he's got great tips for dealing with things like that. But in the show notes, again, kitchencounterpodcast.com/161, I'll put the link to the mac and cheese deep dish pizza in a Dutch oven video from Grubmaster. So definitely go check that out. Thanks, guys. I appreciate you giving me the shout out with the mac and cheese recipe in that video. Okay, what say we start talking about some chicken on the grill? Let's do it. When it comes to grilling, backyard cooking, camp cooking, whatever, chicken is a staple protein. Yeah, burgers and hot dogs and sausages and steaks, all common fare as well. But there's something about chicken. It's a crowd pleaser. there's so much you can do with it. There's so many varieties of the cuts of chicken and whatever you can grill or cook outside with, that rarely do you go to a well-rounded outdoor cookout where there isn't some sort of chicken on the menu. However, that said, it might be one of the trickiest grilling proteins out there. Really easy to screw up. So I want to bring you, I've got about seven or so tips here that we're going to talk about. If you're going to cook out and take chicken for your menu, seven tips that is going to drastically up your chances for success to turn out delicious chicken. And these tips, by the way, are going to work whether you're using a charcoal grill, a gas grill, or, you know, wherever in between, these tips all apply. So whatever you've got yourself outfitted with, all of these tips will help you out a great deal. All right, tip number one, again, regardless of what kind of outfit you've got set up, whether it's gas, charcoal, or whatever, you need to understand the difference between direct and indirect heat when it comes to cooking your chicken. Unlike something like a nice burger or a steak where you want good high direct heat to cook with, chicken is a little bit of a different bird, of course. So indirect heat versus direct heat, what does that mean if you're not familiar? Direct heat simply means that you're cooking your food over the heat source. So over the flame on a gas grill, over the stack of briquettes in your charcoal grill, versus indirect heat, meaning that you're cooking your food in your grill, on your grill, away from the direct heat source, not directly above it. So for example, in a gas grill, if you've got a four burner gas grill, perhaps the two burners on the left you have on and the two burners on the right you have off. So if you cook your chicken over the burners that are on, that is cooking over direct heat. If you move them to the other side and cook them in your grill with, you know, not right above the flame, that's indirect heat. You close the grill, right? And there's, it's still hot in there. So it's still cooking the chicken. It's just not right over the flame. Now, the reason this is important to understand is this is one of the big mistakes I see folks when they're grilling chicken. This is one of the biggest mistakes I see, or the most common mistakes. And that is they cook their chicken over direct heat the whole time. The thing with chicken, because you want it cooked all the way through, unlike a steak where you might like it nice and pink or red in the middle, if you cook your chicken over direct heat, it's going to cause the outside of the chicken to get dark, maybe even burn before the inside of the chicken is going to be cooked through. So if you like nice grill marks on your chicken, you might want to consider cooking your chicken over direct heat, maybe for a couple of minutes on each side, and then move it over to indirect heat, cover your grill, and then cook it for the remainder of the time. That way you'll get the nice color and the grill marks on your chicken, but it won't overcook on the outside while leaving the inside raw. Most of the time, you're going to be cooking your chicken over indirect heat. Now, that leads me to tip number two, which is know your chicken. So I mentioned in the intro, chicken comes in a variety of forms. Maybe you have a whole chicken that you're working with. Maybe you have a chicken that's cut up into pieces that have the skin on and the bone in, or maybe you're working with boneless, skinless chicken breasts. All of those scenarios will prompt you to approach grilling your chicken in quite different ways. There's a couple of general rules of thumb about knowing your chicken. First of all, if you have boneless, skinless chicken that you're cooking, whether it's thighs or breasts, know that they will cook faster than their bone-in, skin-on equivalent. So if you've got boneless, skinless chicken breasts on one hand and bone-in, skin-on chicken breasts on the other, the boneless, skinless breasts will cook faster on your grill. So keep that in mind. The other part of that equation is the skin. The skin of a chicken can oftentimes burn, and when it cooks and the fat renders out of it, the dripping can cause flare-ups or flames in your grill, depending on what kind of grill you're using. And the last thing you want is, you know, you don't want flames hitting your chicken, because it will just end up burning the skin and burning the chicken and give you that burnt taste instead of a nice charred flavor. And then the last thing in the know your chicken tip is whether you're working with a whole chicken or chicken pieces. Just like bone-in chicken takes longer to cook than boneless chicken, a whole chicken, of course, will take longer to cook than a chicken that's been broken down into different parts. There's nothing wrong with cooking a whole chicken on the grill, but there are a couple things you can do to make it a bit smoother sailing. For example, my favorite method when grilling an entire chicken is to spatchcock the chicken or butterfly the chicken. That's where you take your whole chicken, you cut out the backbone, and then you open it up and lay it flat. So you're basically spreading, it's still one chicken, it's still whole and connected, but by taking out the backbone, you can open it up and lay it flat. And I'll put a link to a video on how to spatchcock a chicken in the show notes. It sounds complicated. It sounds tricky. It's incredibly easy to do, and it will allow your chicken to cook much more evenly on the grill than a whole chicken not broken down in any way. All right. That was a big tip. That was tip number two. Know your chicken. Boneless, skinless versus bone in, skin on, and whole versus a chicken that's been broken down. Okay. Tip number three. Boneless, skinless chicken breasts are very popular because they're very lean and they're a great source of protein. But because they don't have a bone in them and they're not skin on, if you don't treat them right, they can come out either overcooked, chalky, dry, leathery, flavorless. Grilled chicken breasts need the most TLC on a grill. One of the tips to make your chicken breasts cook more evenly, and this is something I just did in my last Let's Cook episode, the chicken marsala, is go ahead and pound your chicken breasts down to even out their thickness. So if you just take a chicken breast, boneless, skinless chicken breast, as is right off the bird and look at it, you know, you've got sort of a fat, rounded end that tapers into sort of that teardrop end, pointy end that's a little thinner. And oftentimes there's a chicken tenderloin still attached to the breast. So if you leave that whole and as is and grill it, that skinny pointy end is going to cook and dry out and probably become kind of hard and chewy, while the thick other end of the chicken breast is just perfect. You'd rather have a chicken breast that's good all the way through. So you can put it into a Ziploc bag or cover it with some saran wrap and either take a meat mallet or like a cast iron frying pan and just give the chicken breast a few smacks basically to even out the thickness. So when you do go to grill it, you'll have a chicken breast that cooks evenly from end to end. If pounding out a chicken breast to even its thickness isn't your cup of tea, or you just don't want to go through the hassle of doing that, another thing you could do, if having the whole breast together in one piece isn't that important to you, you could cut the breast up into cubes, like 1-inch cubes, thread those onto a skewer and do them like a kebab on the grill. That's another way you can make sure all of the chicken is roughly the same size and cooks at roughly the same rate. Okay, tip number four, and this really does also apply to boneless, skinless chicken breasts. All you could do this with other cuts of chicken as well. But another way you can ensure that your chicken breasts remain juicy and flavorful while you're grilling them and they don't end up drying out and becoming chalky is you could brine them before you put them on the grill, or you could marinate them as well. But if you brine your chicken breasts for about 30 minutes prior to grilling in a simple solution of water, sugar, and salt, you will have a much juicier end product when you're done grilling those chicken breasts. It's really easy to do. And because they're chicken breasts, it doesn't take a large container to do this. You could do this in a Ziploc bag or in a bowl that you put in your fridge. To make a simple brine for chicken breasts or whatever chicken you want to grill, use a formula of 6 cups of water, 1/4 cup sugar, and 1/4 cup salt. Mix that all together until the salt and the sugar is dissolved, then submerge your chicken in that in the fridge for 30 minutes. You could do it 30 minutes to an hour, but that's really all you need. This is not an overnight process. This is not a multi-hour process. This is something you could do with your chicken breasts while you're prepping your vegetables or your side dishes for your grilling, right? So this isn't a lot of prep work. Again, 6 cups of water, 1/4 cup sugar, 1/4 cup salt is your basic formula for a brine. Give it a try next time you make boneless, skinless breasts, and I think you will be happy with the outcome. If you don't want to make a brine, that's cool. I grill a lot of chicken without brining at first, and it turns out great. One thing you can do in the flavor department, though, is perhaps put it in a marinade for 30 minutes to an hour before you grill, whether that's a marinade that comes out of a jar or a bottle from the store or something you whip up at home. Again, can be as simple as a brine to put together. And I'll put a few links to some marinade ideas in the show notes over at kitchencounterpodcast.com/161. For tip number 5, I want to go to the other end. We just talked about brining and marinating before you do your chicken. I want to talk about basting and glazing. And another common mistake I see folks make when they grill chicken is if they have a baste or a glaze or a sauce that they want to put on the chicken, they will put that on the chicken practically as soon as that chicken hits the grill. And the whole time it's cooking, they're basting and they're glazing. Why is that a mistake, you might ask? Well, there could be a couple of reasons this isn't helping your chicken game out. One is if you're constantly lifting up the lid of your grill to baste and glaze the chicken, you're cooling the grill down and you're just letting your chicken sit on the grill longer and take longer to cook through. But more importantly, most bastes or glazes or sauces have some amount of sugar in them. And if you put them on your chicken too early while you're grilling, that sugar will caramelize, but if it's on the grill too long, it'll actually start to burn. And the last thing you want to do, instead of having this nice glossy glaze or sauce on your chicken, is you don't want that sauce or glaze to burn. So really, basting and glazing you should do often, but you should do it right near the end of cooking, when the chicken maybe has 10 or 5 minutes left of cooking. You can hit it with your bastes and your glazes just long enough so it's on the hot grill so that glaze or that sauce can set, but not so it can burn. So bastes and glazes at the end. And again, there's a lot of homemade things you can do for bastes and sauces and things like that, and I'll put a few links again in the show notes to those. But don't feel bad if you pick up your favorite sauce or glaze or whatever from the store. Those work just as well. All right, tip number 6 for turning out perfect grilled chicken. One of the cardinal sins of grilling or barbecuing chicken is overcooking the chicken. But it's understandable because chicken is something you don't want to undercook. So really, you owe it to yourself to pick up, if you don't already have one, an instant read thermometer, whether that's digital or analog or whatever, but some sort of a meat thermometer that you can check the doneness of your chicken. That's my favorite way to check if chicken is cooked through. There's lots of other things you can attempt to do, like cut into the chicken and see if the juices run clear. That's not an exact science. I prefer to know exactly what the temperature of the chicken is. And with chicken, you're looking for 165 degrees Fahrenheit to be perfectly cooked through and safe to eat. What I do when I'm grilling is when my chicken gets to about 160, I pull it off the grill because that chicken is still going to cook after you take it off the grill. It's called carryover cooking. And in the next 5, 10, or 15 minutes, depending on the cut of chicken you're working with, that chicken will cook up to 165 and you'll be ready to go. So really, if you're grilling meats at all, like I said, you really do owe it to yourself to get a digital thermometer or some sort of a meat thermometer so you can be precise when you check when your stuff is ready to go, especially if you're cooking chicken. That's really, really important. All right, one more tip here, and this goes hand in hand actually with what I just talked about at letting your chicken rest, is tip number 7. So when you pull your chicken off the grill, let it sit. You can tent it with foil if it's going to be a while and you don't want it to cool down too much. But let your chicken rest so it can relax when it comes off the grill, so the juiciness of the chicken can sort of redistribute itself back through your cuts of chicken. So when you eat it, it'll be nice and juicy. And the added bonus to that, if you're pulling your chicken off, say, at 160 degrees Fahrenheit, that rest time will allow, you know, give you the time for your chicken to carry over cook and get up to 165. But really, you don't need a lot of time. If you're working with boneless, skinless chicken breasts, you probably only need 5 minutes to let those rest. If you're cooking a whole chicken, you know, maybe 10 or 15 minutes. Now, I know if you've taken the other tips into account, you're going to be dying to dig into the chicken because it's going to look amazing, it's going to smell amazing, and you know it's going to taste amazing. But just giving it the time to rest is just sort of a cherry on top to perfectly grilling chicken, and it's going to make it so when you do cut into it, It's going to be absolutely perfect and a crowd pleaser. All right, so those were my 7 tips for perfectly grilling chicken. Let me summarize real quick what I just talked about. So number one, knowing the difference between direct versus indirect heat. Most of your chicken grilling is going to come with indirect heat, cooking it away from the heat source versus direct. You might use direct for a couple of minutes to get the grill marks, but then move it over to indirect heat for the remainder of the time. Number two was know your chicken, know what you're working with. Remember, boneless, skinless pieces of chicken cook a lot faster than bone-in, skin-on chicken. And of course, individual chicken pieces would tend to cook faster than an entire chicken. So if you want to do a whole chicken, maybe consider spatchcocking or butterflying the chicken so you give the chicken a better opportunity to cook evenly and quicker. Number three, when you're working with boneless, skinless chicken breasts, consider pounding the chicken breasts down a little bit to even out their thickness, which means they will cook more evenly. So number four, consider brining or marinating your chicken before you grill. Again, head over to the show notes at kitchencounterpodcast.com/161, and I will give you the simple brine recipe to make your chicken flavorful and juicy. Tip number five was make sure you wait until near the end of your cooking to do your glazing and your saucing and your basting of your chicken so the sauce doesn't burn while it's cooking. Number six, use a thermometer to check when your chicken is at the right temperature to pull it off the grill. You're looking for 165. I recommend pulling it off at 160. And then tip number seven was when you pull it off the grill, let your chicken rest for a few minutes before you dig in and chow down. All right. So those are my 7 tips for grilling chicken. There's probably a lot more I could have talked about, more tips I could have included, but I was thinking through what I see people when they grill chicken and some of the mistakes they make, and many of the mistakes I made when I first started out grilling chicken. But I think if you're not that comfortable with grilling chicken, if you take these 7 tips to heart, you're going to have much better luck, and I think you'll feel much better about including chicken in your grilling rotation. Well, folks, that's going to do it for another episode of the Kitchen Counter Podcast. You know, as always, thank you so, so much for taking the time to tune in, to listen to what I have to say, to join our little community of home cooks. Again, if you want to get a hold of me, send an email over to feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. Or if you want to join the Facebook group, we're a bunch of cool people. No games in the Facebook group. No spam or anything like that. kitchencounterpodcast.com/group. All right. I hope you're all doing well. I hope you're all holding up. And until next time, I am Roger with the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Happy cooking.